Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, our pieces of advice, golden pieces of advice. And this is the segment, Alhamdulillah, we have with Mulana Musa Lahir, Damat Barakatuhu. The date today is the 20th of Shawwal, 1445. Other areas of the world, it is the 21st of Shawwal, 1445. Let's welcome Hazrat Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakallah khair for having us.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Mulana, how's the weather in Cape Town?
Cape Town, the last few weeks, the mornings has been pretty chilly, as well as the evenings. But alhamdulillah, during the course of the day, the sun comes out. That's the real ni'mat here in Cape Town, because generally in winter, sometimes for at least a week, you don't get to see the sun.
Gee.
Alhamdulillah, we're making the best of whatever sunlight we're getting now.
Did Mulana ever think that Mulana would end up in Cape Town making khidmah in Cape Town?
Oh, never. In fact, in all my life, even visiting Cape Town for holidays or things like that was something that was very far-fetched, you know. It was something very seldom done. Even whilst I'm living here, Molana, I haven't even been to many of these tourist sites, Robben Island, Table Mountain and what have you. I don't know, I'm just not finding the time.
Gee. And I'm sure with regards to Durban, Johannesburg, all of this, you could find our people there making effort in that. But you'll find very rarely that people from Johannesburg or Durban would move to Cape Town for the effort of Deen. So it is quite an admirable effort. And I'm sure the people there, alhamdulillah, they have like sort of, I don't know, this was when we went, this was many years back, they have like sort of no inclination to the dunya in terms of material aspects. Mulana can confirm this.
That's very true, Mulana. I think in comparison to Johannesburg, Durban and other provinces, people are less materialistic here. They don't really worry much about the cars that they drive. Okay, not to say that there's not wealthy people here. There's super wealthy people here. You do find the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis and what have you, but I don't see it amongst the Muslim community very much. And alhamdulillah, you know, people just carry on with their lives, and it's a much more simplistic lifestyle, if I can describe it that way, and a much more relaxed lifestyle.
Yeah, I would say in these areas, especially in South Africa, I'm not going to say which areas now, but we tend, especially amongst the youth, there's this competition for cars, there's this competition for this. I was speaking to a family member in Canada. They told me they moved from South Africa. They said, I've been waiting so long to purchase this BMW. Today I purchased it, but there's no one to look at it. Nobody's interested in it. So I don't know if it's just these areas in Johannesburg where we have this competition, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, the youth, and all of us. Well, our topic today is on social media, and we continue from last week. As an introduction, any introductory words Mulana wants to add?
Mulana, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, kullu bani adama khatta'un wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun. Every single child of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam is a sinner. We all commit sins. Right? Allah ta'ala forgive us, Allah ta'ala make maaf. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then further on mentioned that the best of sinners are those who repent. But if we had to look at the flip side of that coin, what would be the worst of sinners? The worst of sinners would be such people who leave behind evidence of their sin. So one is committing a sin. One is proudly, you know, there's hadith that back this statement up to say that a person who boasts about his sin will never be forgiven. That's wrong in its way, and you know, Allah save us and protect us from ever boasting about our sins.
Ameen.
But then there's one level up, and that level is leaving behind evidence of sin.
True.
And what I'm finding more and more common in today's society, right? One is the TikToks, we know about that, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Snapchat, and all of that there. But I think more and more families that are even have some dini inclination are getting involved in this guna of photography. So we're documenting everything. Person goes out to eat. Okay, take a picture. If you want to take a picture, take a picture. You shouldn't because it's nazar and what have you. Take a picture of the food. But now they take a selfie of the entire family and it's posted. And then our phones get so clogged up with all these images. How much do people actually delete off their phones? So that remains there. It's evidence. It's first of all, the photography is a sin on its own, right? It's pictures of people. And then we're leaving this evidence behind and we pass away and this continues and people will look at it many, many years later. Oh, remember on this date we went out for supper and hey, you know, this person was with us and this is what it was like and this is what we did. But not realizing that we have broken a commandment of Allah Ta'ala and now we are reminiscing over that guna.
Gee.
So this is a very serious problem, I think, that needs to be addressed. And, you know, we have to become disciplined to stay as far as possible away from that camera button.
Gee. I recall, Mulana, and this was with regards to Mulana Sheikh, Mulana Dawood Sirat, mashallah, he came, it was maybe 2 years back, here at Masjid al-Rahma in Greenside. And he gave a talk and mentioning the different sins. And one thing that I always use from his talk there was some sins we continuously engaged in. Even when we're sleeping, we're still in sin. And he said, this sin here is this two-length haircuts. That you're sleeping, but you're still in sin. So, Mulana, you can advise us, the youth, and the rest of us, where you're getting, and I feel as well this must be addressed because children don't just grow up deciding, okay, I want to have a two-length haircut. Many a time we see parents are pushing for this. That child who's 3, 4, 5, now just to blend in with the soccer player's features, so now we tend to cut that haircut accordingly. And then this child grows up wanting this kufr lifestyle. So maybe his name is Abdullah, but the lifestyle is not Abdullah. Mulana, you can advise us more on this.
Mulana, that's an interesting topic that you've now brought about. So I have a student in the maktab, you know, and he has two lengths of haircut. And once a week or something, we have a little discussion and what have you. And this topic came about. And he mentioned to me that, you know, I never used to cut my hair like this, yeah? And one day my father took me to the barber and he cut it like this. And he said, wow, it looks so smart, you know, it suits you. And ever since then, I think it's been about 2 or 3 years now, he says, continuously cuts like this here, two lengths here. Fine, the child might not be baligh and what have you, but I think as the Quran teaches us, ta'awanu 'alal birri wat-taqwa wa la ta'awanu 'alal ismi wal-'udwan. You know, always encouraging towards goodness, towards taqwa. We as parents, we fail a lot in this matter, in the sense that we encourage, you know, we look at a child and we say, wow, you look so cute. You know, you cut your hair like this here. You've got this type of a thing. You look so cute. And they may look cute, undoubtedly. But that cute then has developed into an obsession in the child that, you know what? Everyone, I mean, you growing up, everyone's only praising you. Now, why would you want to cut your hair one length now? Because nobody ever praised you when you had one length hair. Now that you've got this crazy haircut, I don't even want to praise it by saying fancy because it's not fancy. It's crazy. When you've got this crazy haircut, then everybody is now automatically praising you. So that child then has grown up with this image in his or her, in his mind, that you know what, everybody liked this. They didn't comment on the one length haircut. So why should I keep the one length? I might as well just carry on. When we grew up, Molana, in school, I'm talking in Zimbabwe. That was something that was completely forbidden. You couldn't keep two length hair. you know, it was a very old school type of school. But I've noticed now in the new generation, the schools are even tolerating it, perhaps even encouraging it. So that makes it a big challenge, you know, whereby it's permitted in school, it's not permitted in madrasa, and it's permitted in the home. So where do you win, you know? It's an ongoing battle. And like you mentioned, Maulana, correctly, this is a guna, it's a sin, where even when you're making salah, you're collecting guna at the same time. Imagine, salah is supposed to be that thing. We hear the hadith, a person who reads five times daily salah is like going through a stream of water, and it's cleansing a person of his gunas. But there's one guna that's on top of the head, is continuously there, and it doesn't get washed out. Because there's no, you know, a guna in understanding al-ithmu ma haka fi sadrik wa karihta an yattali alayhi an-nas. This was the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A guna, a sin, is that which has created some sort of embarrassment, some sort of, you know, you don't feel right. But we've generalize this thing, and we've allowed it to creep so much into society that you see a person with two length hair, it's no longer recognized as a guna. And these are signs of qiyamah. You know, you think to yourself, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the time will come when zina, adultery, fornication will be performed openly in public. And you think to yourself, wow, you know, as it is, I'm struggling, you know, to control my gaze, to remain chaste, to have pure thoughts. What would happen when the time comes that people are openly committing this illicit and shameless action? But then you think that if this has already crept in and nobody even bats an eyelid towards it, we're headed in that direction already.
True. And I think one may ask, how does this fit in with our topic? Because we said our topic is social media. Well, it actually does, because it boils down to that. When you're watching and you're receiving messages that this soccer player is doing this or this person is doing that, then it doesn't play any role whether we should become biased or not. We just follow blindly. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. A person will be with whom he loves. So it could be on that side or the side. And here also, when these messages, I just wanted to say this part also. Certain people, you've seen the haircuts. It's so strange. I don't know about Cape Town, Mulana, but here in Johannesburg, you'll see a man, he cuts his entire head, he's shaved off. And then he'll have just a pony in the middle. You think, but what does this represent? Is it got some, you belong to some kind of group, or what is it?
You know, Maulana, I think it's across the board. It's not exclusive to one province of our country, and it's across the board. So I've noticed also some of the youngsters, they will even, whether they shave off or they trim the sides, but then they'll make like two slits or three slits on the eyebrows. So at first, when I seen this, I thought, hey, you know, this guy went to the barber and maybe he sneezed or he coughed and his head moved and the barber accidentally knocked off the eyebrow. But then you come to learn that, you know, it was purposely done. And I think to myself, what in the world would make a person put like a, I don't know if you've seen it, Paulina.
Gee.
Like crazy. It's weird. In the middle of your face, you've got two like ticks in your eyebrows, and it's gone. Who, you know, I've heard of women shaping eyebrows and even sometimes shaving off the eyebrows and then drawing it with a pencil, and that's a prohibition on its own. And, you know, I'm not going to go into that topic. But I've never heard of men actually doing this. Yeah. And I think, you know, as men, we have to be very, very careful, because we are falling more and more into this whole feminist type of lifestyle.
Mm.
You know, on a lighter note, men never used to go for facials, manicures, pedicures. But these days, I think there are more men that do it than women folk. You know, and I don't know. I don't know. Do you feel good about yourself going for a manicure and a pedicure and a facial? And, you know,
Mulana, here's the question. Maybe they're going to it because they can spend some time with a female. Or is that also
yeah,
biased?
You know, that's another question, you know, whether there's a male that's operating on you or fixing you up and what have you, or there's a female. Now, definitely, if there's a male that's cutting your nails, and it's not a problem, you know, from a fatwa point of view. But really, you know, men are supposed to be rough and tough. And these days, we've become so soft and so... Ya Rab. Maulana, can I give you an example? So a family member decided to emigrate to a different country a few years ago. And obviously, you know, going to a foreign country, you're lonely, you're this, you're that. And next thing we heard that, you know what, he was missing home and what, and a young man, you know, alhamdulillah. And he then phoned home and he said, you know, mommy, I'm missing home so much. Please send my cat. And I said, what? He said, no, he wanted his cat as company. And I thought to myself, oh, gosh, you know, what have we become? What type of adults are we growing into? Not to say that there's anything wrong with having a cat or anything like that there, but I mean, I just found it very, very strange that a young man would ask for the companionship of a cat. You know, I would have thought he would have said, you know what, just send my brother or send my sister for 2 week holiday. But no, he asked for the cat, and they actually shipped off this cat, you know, put it in a box and whatever it was, and they paid so much of money because you got to get the licenses and the vaccines and all of that there, and they shipped off the cat. But I think as men, really, we need to ask ourselves, are we becoming more like women? And women are destined and desirous of becoming more like males. And this was also one of the prophecies of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And again, this is influenced from social media. You know, the TikTok videos, the Instagram videos that are coming out, Ya Rab. You know, you think to yourself, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. I saw a report, I think it was yesterday or sometime, that a man in Saudi Arabia got arrested for wearing female's clothes. And, you know, I mean, come on. What pleasure would a person get in wearing a female's clothes? But Maulana, you know, it's like my sheikh always says, in the old days, if a person had to pass away and they had to put on a pink kafan on that person, he'd probably get up and say, you know what? You're not burying me in this year. You bury me in any other color besides pink. But today's time, people actually go out to shopping places in search of pink socks and pink shirts, and they proudly wear this. I mean, you know, you're reading Tarawih and you go down for ruku and your person next door to you got pink socks on. I actually close my eyes then because I don't want to have any bad guman or evil thoughts, but it creeps under my skin. Why would you have, I mean, you're a man. Why would you have pink socks? Why would you wear a pink shirt? Soon, pink kurtas are going to come on, if they haven't already.
It's my father always, he tells me this on a lighter note. He says, in one person went for Hajj, and he's pelting the shaitan. And he was in a pink ihram. And he's,
really?
And whether it's true, I'm not too sure. But the moral of the lesson we can take, yeah. So he's so angry, and he's venting, and he's saying, he's pelting with so much of like passion. Because he recognizes, at least we'll give him that much. You recognize that shaitan has in his heart, he knows it's wrong. So that's already a start. So he's pelting and he says, "Yeah, may mafi khamak," and he's going. So, but it's true where we, I was just thinking as Mulana was speaking now, as we were growing up, as when let's go to those baby phases where our mothers put baby powder. And then you see Johnson & Johnson, today they've been taken to task. Someone told me in America they don't allow baby powder on the shelves because of the cancer ingredients that's in there. Yet they portray this to be such a nice, beautiful smell, and you must smell like this. That's how baby should smell. But that's where we're falling short. We're not applying our minds, and it's because perhaps our weakness of the taqwa in our hearts, because taqwa gives you vision. And it gives you, allows you, enables you to see through all of this. So from then, we've been pampered and we've been, and as boys, the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha, she wanted her son to be making the khidmah of deen, and that was Masjid al-Aqsa. But today, our change has been, no, today you must become like this. You must shave your beard. Don't keep a beard. It's not going to make you look too neat, etc. But the problem is from this, where parents are pushing for it.
So I think as parents, you know, Maulana, we have to envisage and understand the hadith. It's, you know, that one hadith has such a strong impact on me personally. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. If we're not going to be the head of the family, as in taking care of our flock, I'm the shepherd here. So if my children go off track, I am responsible. If my wife is doing something wrong, I am responsible. If we don't start taking responsibility for our own flock, then who is going to take responsibility? You know, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, Mawlana Yunus Patel, he always used to say, is that we create all these bad influences. Then when the child goes off track completely, goes on to drugs, goes on to smoking, goes on to alcohol, then we're running to the same Molanas and saying, you know what, Molana, I need one Taweez for this child. There's no Taweez that works there. There's no Taweez that works there. Because at the end of the day, we created this monster in our home. And now we want to change the monster into a, into an angel. How's it going to work? So we have to be very, very careful in how we nurture our children. You know, it is our responsibility as parents. And you know, one of the solutions, you know, Mona, many of my children are now reaching that age where they're close to maturity, or some of them are baligh and what have you. And I always speak to Hazrat Maulana Dawood Sahib about this. And Maulana tells me, Maulana, the easiest solution is for us as parents to bring in more sunnah into our lives. The moment our children start witnessing that, you know what, we are giving this, it's a non-negotiable thing, you know, when it comes to sunnah, it's non-negotiable. We will practice on the sunnah. Khalas. Our children will see this year. And inshallah, slowly, slowly also develop love for the sunnah. Allah. Because right now, there is no importance that is given to sunnah. I see this, Maulana, you know, la ilaha illallah, you know, I love this province of Cape Town. But one of the things that I notice, especially, you know, people come early for Salatul Jumu'ah, and that's a great sunnah. They will read the Surah Kahf, they will read Surah Jumu'ah, they will engage in some zikrullah. But the moment the salah is over, khalas, the masjid is empty. There's just that. And this is also in Johannesburg. It's everywhere else. There's a handful of people who are actually reading their sunnah after Salatul Jumu'ah. And I think a lot of emphasis, I beg the imams, if there's any ulama listening, encourage your congregation, the sunnatul mu'akkada that we are leaving. You know, one day, Maulana, I'll end up on this note very quickly. I was musafir, obviously. So I read my Dhuhr Salah in Masjid al-Nur Ashaville. And after that, I went to go and visit Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. When I used to tell Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. So when I got there, Hazrat's habit was sometimes he would read his faraz and go and read the sunnah at home. Right. So in that particular instance, this is what he did. But anyway, so when I got there, then he asked us to sit on, that time Hazrat's knees and his legs were troubling, so he used to sit on a table and eat, you know. He couldn't sit on the floor. So he asked us to sit and eat, you know. But then I noticed Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was very uneasy. Why? We just read our two rakats for us. Our four rakats we read in Jamaat. And then there's no sunnah, right? We were musafir, we're still young, although it's always optimum and better to read the sunnahs. But anyway, cutting the story, long story short, we got there, so we weren't too worried about sunnahs, but Hazrat now hadn't read his two rakat sunnah. So one moment, he's like sitting with us, next moment, you know what, you could see him easy. Until obvious, because he didn't want to leave his guest, and at the same time, he didn't want to miss out on the sunnah, mu'akkada. And I noticed this, and I said, please read your sunnah, inshallah, we'll relax a bit, and then we'll sit together, you know. And only then did Hazrat basically, like, feel at ease and calm, and, you know, he didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings at the same time. But this is the thing, the importance to the sunnah. Start giving that preference in our homes. It will create a revolution in our children, in our wives, in our own selves. And inshallah, all these nasty Western ideologies, they'll be wiped out from our homes.
Well said, Mulana. It's exactly what a sunnah is, the opposition of their kufr ways. And that's the way that's going to lead us to becoming yuhbibkum Allah, beloveds of Allah. Lastly, just in 30 seconds, Mulana, we find ourselves in this condition where we in certain groups, on WhatsApp, social media is our topic. So just to end off on this, how do we just break away from that, and we can then still use social media, but we can be in good groups where there is good bayanat being sent and good things influencing to the sunnah?
Maulana, to be quite honest, I feel the least amount of groups that you're on, the better. You know, yes, there is a lot of good content that is shared, but I think it just takes away too much of our time. Too much of our time. And people are spending, you know, look on your phone. It actually shows you screen time, how many hours you're spending on WhatsApp, how many hours you're spending on this. The least amount of groups that you can be on, the better. And sometimes in a family group, you've got one family group, then you've got a breakaway family group, then you've got a breakaway from that breakaway. So you look at your phone, you're on three groups with the same family. So this one got all the members, this one got like six members, this one only got three members. So it's a mockery. It's a mockery. And then, you know, this one is skinnering about that one is, and that's all it is. Stay off the groups. That's my advice.
Jazakumullah khair.
Stay off the groups. As much as possible, stay off the groups.
Jazakumullah. Inshallah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feekum. You too, Maulana. Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And from us in the team, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.